face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Draymond. Just wanted you to talk a little bit about that post-game scuffle between you and Drake.
You got a question about basketball? It wasn't really a scuffle because I didn't hit him and he didn't hit me, or I didn't push him and he didn't push me. We talked. We bonked a little bit, but I wouldn't necessarily consider that a scuffle. Not really what I personally would consider a scuffle.
Thank you, Draymond.
You used to call me on my... You used to. Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my...
Raptors take game one of the NBA Finals last night at home, 118-109. Pascal Siakam, kid can play a little bit. Big part of that win for Toronto. And I got to say, that building was jacked last night. It's a great atmosphere there. Good fans. They're obviously enjoying it. And they take game one. Good effort. Good effort on Siakam's part. 32 points last night in that win. And then there's Drake. And then there's Drake on the sideline, which has been a problem for the entire playoff run for the Raptors. This is a problem. And you just heard Draymond Green after the game, who gets asked about it. The dust up. The dust up after
scuffle.
The fact.
He goes, you want a scuffle? I'll give you a scuffle.
Drake is like allowed to roam anywhere he wants to go on the side of the court.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know.
Does he just
works for the team. He's a team ambassador.
Okay.
Does he have one of those?
It's like a mask.
Forget about how it looks for the Toronto Raptors.
Does he have a lanyard for that?
Forget about that. Forget about how it looks for the Raptors. How does it look for the league?
Terrible.
Not great.
What are you doing?
Special access for special people.
See, Spike Lee used to irritate me, too. Back when
Spike Lee's got a courtside seat and he yells at players. That's one thing.
He pays for those seats. He sits there.
Oh, yeah. Sitting at your seat is one thing.
And it was a cool thing. And I think the players that played against him, guys like Reggie Miller.
Jack in L.A., right? Jack at the Lakers games doing the same thing.
But Jack, for the most part, minded his business and never got involved with it. I'm with Zoe. Spike Lee was just as obnoxious.
No, he wasn't. Less obnoxious than Drake. Don't put them in the same category. They're not doing the same things.
I just put him in the same category.
How could you compare the two?
Because Spike Lee was getting up off out of his seat, stepping onto the court, and yelling at players.
You really don't think that Drake is taking this to a new level? Have you seen all the antics this entire playoff run?
I have not been watching the Raptors nonstop.
Spike Lee never massaged the coach's shoulders.
Thank you. He wasn't going up to the coach and grabbing him by the back of the neck.
He's playing it up too much,
like rubbing it out for him. Okay.
Oh. Well, he's a big Joe Biden supporter.
This has gotten ridiculous now. And so he's in the face of Draymond Green, telling Draymond Green as he walks off that he's trash, telling him that he's trash after the game.
See, that's a Spike Lee move. That's Spike Lee. Spike Lee talked.
I disagree with that. I bet Spike Lee talked
more crap than Drake does. Drake's more of a cheerleader.
Yeah, but it's the up and down the floor.
What's more intrusive?
For Drake, adding a new level to it.
I think during the game, Spike Lee gives it more to the other players, but after the game, I think Spike puts talents. Hey, nice game.
Right, I don't think Spike's running around like an idiot the way that Drake does.
Drake acts like a punk.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
And I think he likes everybody watching him and watching Lil do his thing and being involved with
everybody. Why do you think he does it?
I just don't understand why any team would allow for someone to do what they're allowing Drake to do. and why the league would put up with that, why they would allow any of their players to be harassed by anybody.
Because it's music.
Whether they're a celebrity or not.
They're players like music. They want to be musicians.
So what?
They want to be rappers.
So what?
It's part of it,
and it's part of the NBA.
So
it's about stars.
We'll bump NBA promos with Drake. That's part of the league.
It's stars doing whatever they want to do. And Drake's a star. The fact that he's not a player isn't as important as the fact that he's a star. And that's the most important thing with the league, the stars. Yeah, and to their credit, they've done a hell of a job promoting that league and marketing that league based on stardom. And Drake is a star.
It doesn't mean the rest of us have to like it.
No, no.
It's detestable.
I don't even know if Raptors fans like it.
Draymond Green certainly doesn't have to like it. I give him credit because if you're Drake, man, you've got some balls on you, man, because you don't mess with that kind of crazy. Who gets in the face of Draymond Green is all kinds of crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get into Draymond Green's face and tell him he's trash?
Nope.
Like you don't lose a couple of teeth along the way.
Oh, my God. And that would get Draymond Green suspended, and he would love that even more.
And would he deserve it? And honestly, would he deserve it?
Well, I think Drake does deserve to get punched in the face. Yes.
Would he have not been provoked? So let's say that played out.
Even if he was provoked, he would be suspended.
Let's say that played out last night. Who is that on? Is that on Draymond Green? I had some lunatic in my face screaming at me that I was trash.
I could defend myself.
I happened to punch him in the face, and he lost some teeth. Yeah. and you know what? It would be on the league, and it would be on the Toronto Raptors for not kicking this clown out of there. Put him in his seat and put a seatbelt on him and keep him in his seat, please.
This guy's so much of a Raptors fan, he wore a wristband to cover up his tattoos of Durant and Curry on his forearm.
Oh, God.
He wore his Nike wristband around his forearm.
He had Del Curry's shirt on?
He had Del Curry. That's a good move. That's a great little move. Del Curry Raptors jersey, but without the antics, just wearing that courtside is a great move. Outside of that, everything else is ridiculous.
Go sit in a suite. He wants to be in that front. He wants, and Bon Jovi told me this a long time ago too, and I told you this. Us as musicians, we love sports. We would give up everything. We never had the ability to play sports.
It's the age-old thing. Rock stars want to be athletes. Athletes want to be rock stars.
You want to rock and roll.
All the same thing.
I want to throw a ball.
Grass is always greener.
And the reason I go to games I'm here is because I love it. I can't get enough of it. It's the closest thing I'll ever get to touching it.
Oh, they all want what they don't have.
And it's exactly the same thing with Drake. I got all the money in the world. I can buy any seat I want. And I want as much access and to be as close to these NBA dudes as I can. Because I can't be one of them. And he's buying his popularity with the team. That's what he's doing. None of it's free. I'm sure they comp him a ton of stuff, too. Holy crap, we got Drake in the building.
Who's he a fan of? Is he a fan of the Raptors or the Golden State Warriors?
He's
Raptors.
A fan of himself. He's a fan of basketball, being there.
But
he's a fan of everyone looking at him.
He's a fan of other stars. That's why he's got the
Bleeper.
That's why he's got the Golden State tattoos.
Star Bleeper.
Idiot.
They all are back and forth. They'll rub each other's backs.
One thing you can say about Spike is Knicks.
Knicks.
That was it.
Hardcore
just the
Knicks.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Donnie Wahlberg.
No.
Celtics.
And he goes to the games when his team is terrible.
Yes.
Was Drake always there when the Raptors were terrible? I'm just wondering.
My guess is that he was in Golden State. That's why he got the Kevin Durant and Steph Curry tattoos.
He was probably a Heat fan then.
I'm just wondering. Because he's always there. He's always there at the Knicks games when the Knicks are awful. Spike still goes when his team sucks. That's his team. He goes and roots for his team, the Knicks, even when they're god-awful. Even when he has to subject himself to terrible
Spike
teams.
And Kyrie, they're going to be best friends.
Yeah, they're going to make movies together.
Yeah, I got to make it. Hey, Uncle Drew. Hell, Uncle Drew. We'll do like Grandpa Billy. Do that film.
To be in a Spike movie, actually, I have to act. So I don't know if that's going to work out.
He does like real movies.
He does real movies.
What's going to happen in this series? You giving Toronto a shot in this?
I don't know how you can't now.
As long as Durant is out, I think we got to give him a shot.
How good
story
is that?
This morning, ironically, after they lost, Durant will be back at the midpoint of the series.
Midpoint of the series.
If the Warriors win last night, I'm telling you that story doesn't come out today.
You think Durant woke up today and wanted to tweet out the words, "Good morning," capital letters.
This second game is so important. Now, they've got 2 days off, of course, because it's the NBA. This game, too, is so, so important for Toronto. If they want to win this series, they've got to take game two as well. Game one has obviously got them in a position where they can do that and have it matter. But game two is really, really important. because if anyone's going to be able to come back on them, it's obviously Golden State. Even at 2-0, I don't know that I feel comfortable if I'm Toronto. But if you want to give yourself a shot, you need game two as well. You must go up 2-0 on them because they're going to fight back. They are. They're that good, especially if they get Durant back, who was, man, he was thrilled last night at halftime, giving everybody those high fives. I'm not sure if you caught any of that video. His team is down 10 at the half, and he is just high-fiving everybody. He was just trying to cheerlead everybody. He was thrilled. He's loving that his team is losing without him.
Huh.
He is loving it. He's like, yeah, high-five everybody.
Yeah. My price just went up.
I'm waiting to see. I don't know if he's leaving there. I really don't know if he's leaving there. What's so funny, Jim?
Just quick on the tattoos. I wanted to see when he came out with these tattoos of Curry and Durant. It was last January.
Oh, last January.
Tool bag.
And an Instagram post where he's wearing a LeBron high school jersey.
Oh, good. Yeah, Star Bleeper. Drake.
Star Bleeper.
Big Toronto Raptors fan. 617-779-0985. J.D. Martinez out on the Home Run Derby. He gave his reasoning yesterday. He's got a couple of different reasons. We'll tell you what they are and get back to your...
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle.
I hate this song.
My kids sing this song non-stop.
Another one they wore out.
They can't get it out of their
summer,
head.
Summer, song of summer a year ago.
They can't get it out of their head, man. Zed, right? Right up there at the top of J.D. Awful. Martinez's list.
Oh, God, J.D.
J.D. is not going to participate in the Home Run Derby. J.D. Martinez out. He's out. He told Bradford, not about the money. Not going to do it.
Should be out.
Because it's $1 million now if you win.
Yep.
Great prize. I just don't want to do it. It's a lot of stress. You're hitting for 2 minutes straight, trying to hit the ball as far as you can. I remember seeing it the first time they did it when I wanted to do it. And I said, thank God I didn't do it. It was just exhausting. Those guys were out there drenched, saying it's a lot of stress. Doesn't want to do it. Huh. Okay.
Huh.
All right. Well, I get that. Don't want to do it.
Message swing up.
He says the All-Star game in itself is stressful. There's so much going on. It's not even a break. You don't have time to relax. You have to be on. It's one of those things. I'm sure if I was making a lot less, I would think about it. To me, it's about the team and giving my body the rest that it needs.
See.
Talking about his Red Sox team.
Yeah.
Saying good. I'm more focused on our team and wanting to get as much rest as possible so that I am the best for my team. The Boston Red Sox, who I play for, and wanting to perform for my team. And so
prior to that Cleveland series, they played 32 out of 33 days straight. And that's playing every day in that grind. This is probably what he's talking about. Like, I'm starting to feel it. You know, I just don't want to waste my time getting that type of time off where you could have a time off during the All-Star break and spend it with family and just kind of just recharge your batteries instead of run here, run there, be part of All-Star weekend. It's a pain in the ass. Probably a pain in the ass for him. I don't blame him. Put Chavis in the sucker. Put that guy in. Let him get it. Give him a chance at $1 million.
Do you know what it could be, though? Do you know what it actually could be? Spite. Could be out of spite. That's what it really could be. You know why?
Why?
Because they didn't let him in 2015 when he wanted to be in it.
Now you want to.
Wasn't good enough. Right,
so this is a sit and spin response. Then, you know, you didn't want me then. You didn't want me then, but now you want me. Yeah,
yeah. He said, you know, that in 2015, that he will not, you know, I would have done it in 2015, but I wasn't good enough. How about that? I would have done it then, but no, I'm not doing it now. I wasn't good enough for you in 2015. That might be his real reason.
That guy can hold a grudge.
Which one is it?
He sure can.
Is it really about the rest, or is it about the fact
that was back when Demaryius Thomas was putting a Pro Bowl numbers beetle? That long ago.
I'm not. I don't think I would do it. I don't think I would do it, he said. I would have done it in 2015, but I wasn't good enough.
Oh.
That's what J.D. Martinez also said Thursday at Yankee Stadium. Yeah. I would have done it back in 2015. He had to throw that in there, too, which tells me there's some real, you know, real truth to that statement. He felt the need to throw that in there. All this stuff about rest, all this stuff about my team, I don't need the money because he's obviously well compensated now. If I made less money, I'd do it. Oh, by the way, I would have done it back in 15, but I wasn't good enough. And now that I am good enough and now that I don't need your money, I'm not doing it. There's your real reason.
Just keep using that motivation, JD. Keep hitting with that motivation. I didn't get enough in free agency. They didn't want me. They didn't do that. Like, they didn't market me enough. All that stuff. Aww. Keep using it as motivation. Keep hitting home runs.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate the comment, but I like the production.
So that's JD Martinez, who currently has 11 home runs through the first couple of months of the season. That's where he's at right now. 11 home runs. He's batting .298 on the year. His pace a little bit down from where he was at this time a year ago.
Like, I don't mind the comment. I don't. Because that's how he feels, and that's how he's honestly telling you. Like,
well, which
you know
one
what?
Is it, though?
Zoe, that's something totally you would say. Something like that.
But yeah, which one is it, though? Now. That's what I want to know. Which one is it, JD? Is it the fact that they snubbed you in 15, yeah. Or is it the rest? Which one is it? Which one is it?
I don't know what the equivalent number would be for you, Zoe, but if you could win X amount of dollars...
$1 million bucks.
But to say spite, you know what? No.
Right now, who jacked it update? I'm at 25. Zoe's at 15. Hardy's at 21. So I'm in first. Hardy's in second. Zoe's in third.
I want to redraft.
Why? Hardy's on fire. Hardy was in third like last week.
Betts had one the other day. JBJ is coming around. In fact,
closing in on you. Look at that.
In fact, this is the perfect time to let everybody know that Jackie Bradley Jr. has apparently turned the corner again. Once again, Jackie Bradley Jr. has arrived as a major league hitter.
You know, if you keep turning corners, you go right in a circle, right?
It's like NASCAR.
Yeah, NASCAR.
This from Alex Speer of the Boston Globe. Jackie Bradley Jr. has started to see improved results. It started last week in Toronto, driving a couple of homers to the opposite field. But that's not where he felt an offensive transformation occur. Instead, Bradley circled last Saturday. Oh, yes, he circled, all right. He circled last Saturday in Houston as one that marked a redirection of his season. He circled last Saturday as the date. He circled it on the calendar. It was work that I put in that day to make the adjustment, Bradley said before Thursday's game was rained out in New York. Ever since then, I can tell a difference. So all that offseason work with J.D. Martinez as hitting guy and swing coach? No, forget that. And all that offseason junk he was doing with the swing, which was all offseason. Then he had spring training. Then he had the month of April. Then he had the month of May. No, it was last week. It was last week that he just went out to the cage and made a little bit of an adjustment there in Houston. Now he's coming around. Now he's found his stroke again. He's back, baby. He's back. Now he's got the answers.
I put up the bat signal for him. I said, Daddy needs you. Needs you to jack it a few times for me, Jackie.
He's unlocked it.
Jackie going, jack it. Daddy.
He's unlocked it, Hardy.
He's figured it out.
He's a major league hitter again. JBJ has unlocked it. It's unbelievable with this guy.
Do you think he runs a little hot and cold, Jackie Bradley Jr.?
A little bit. A little streaky. I heard Alex Cora in his radio interview this week.
A little streaky.
And they were like, hey, how do you get him to be more consistent? He was like, yeah. He literally chuckled and goes, yeah, well, you know, we'd like him to be more consistent. Like, he doesn't even have an answer for it. Like, what do you want me to say about this guy? I don't have an answer on him. 617-779-0985. Manny's in Quincy. Hey, Manny.
Hey, what's going on? I'm driving by your hometown there, Beetle.
What's up?
Hey, I think J.D. Martinez meant both things. I think he's saying Listen, we're not playing that well. If I go in there and mess up my swing, it's only going to be bad for the team. And I think he's still holding a grudge, too, as well. So I think it's both things. What do you guys think?
I think it's the grudge. That's what I think it is. They were playing well last year. They were playing great last year, and he didn't want to do it then either. It's the grudge.
It's a grudge. And then once you get a certain amount of money, too, it's not even about the money.
Because if it was just about the rest and it being exhausting and you wanting to get your break, why do you need to say the other thing? Why do you feel the need to say the other thing about 2015?
He took a shot.
Yeah. You don't feel the need to say that. That's irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant if it's only about getting your rest and wanting to make sure you're at your best for your team. You don't need to say that second part. Leave that out of it. It's really about holding a grudge against Major League Baseball.
Yeah, a million after taxes.
Which is a crappy reason not to do it. If that's your reason, the reason he gives is a good reason, right? The reason about, hey, I don't want to screw things up. I just want to be my best for my team. That's a good reason. I just don't believe that's his reason. I believe the reason is that second reason.
I think it's a combination of things.
I'm holding a grudge from four years ago when Major League Baseball turned me down. And even though he may be right to be pissed off at them, because baseball is stupid, trust me, the commissioner's office and the league office, we bash them plenty. They don't do things right. They make plenty of mistakes. The wrong reason not to do it now, though. Hardy has our headlines. Believe it or not, Phil Collins, a favorite on this show.
Big favorite.
Big favorite here on this show. He has dropped a new album today. You're like, what? Well, not really. He's remixed some of his own songs. He's issued an album of remixes.
So when you do this
some
as
of the
an
old,
artist,
these some are like of the old favorites.
His own favorites.
Yeah, some of the hits have been remixed.
I always tell you, play the hits.
So, but when you could take something old, right? And something that's a hit and make it new again, so. And sort of add a twist to it.
Oh, you actually did do more different music to it?
Make it just put a little twist on things.
Like when Lion King comes out, and then you get like the new reinvented Lion King. You know, the actual.
I would say it's similar.
Yeah.
So why don't we do a review?
Okay.
Of Phil Collins' remixes.
Ooh.
We'll review the album.
We might need two segments for this.
I don't know if we're going to need that, but we're going to review the album for you coming up next.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recognize this.
What is this?
This one gets a thumbs down.
This is if you take Phil Collins and mix it with Spring Love, Come Back to Me.
I was thinking Milli Vanilli.
It's got a merengue Milli Vanilli feel to it. I thought
it was Rick Astley.
Never gonna give you up.
The original is better.
The original. I'd go original.
Without question. What is this? What are we listening to?
Okay, so hold on. I just want to hear a little more.
Let it get in.
Hold on.
Yes, I'm sorry. This is like you're at a boom boom club outside on the beach. Hey. I don't like it. I'm going thumbs down.
Phil Collins released this album today of remixed songs called Remixed Sides.
This would work with the kids, though, out on the pool decks.
This is not the most popular of the tracks that have been put out. They were released at midnight last night. It's a album of nothing but his songs that are remixed. That's not one of the better ones for sure. That's okay. A thumbs down. That gets a thumbs down for me.
Well, you don't want to throw. You don't want to throw it in the first row coming out of, right out of the box. Man.
No,
you know what I mean?
No. But can I tell you what has been the most popular song of the remixed Phil Collins song since last night? It has a very high popularity rating.
What?
You know when you go on Amazon Music and it shows you the bar?
Yeah.
Of how many times it's been clicked on, purchased, downloaded.
It's not one of the ones that we started playing again.
It is one of the ones that we play. The Easy Lover remix is very, very popular
today. Let's hear it. Already don't like it.
Give it a second.
It's like breaking. Pop, pop Tuesday.
Now it's not that much different.
There are a lot of things over the course. It's extended. It's 6 minutes and 20 seconds. There's a lot that goes on in this 6 minutes. It's pretty good.
It sounds like the original right now, but at the beginning, it was very Casio keyboard.
I'm telling you, I listened to the entire 6 minutes today before the show. It gets my thumbs up. Zoe, you want this on your pool playlist?
I'm on thumbs up on this one.
Fast me. Can we fast forward?
I don't like that.
I'm a driven kind of girl. You driven. Driven can be hard on.
You know, remixing is tough. There's a reason why there's only a handful of, like, remember the Fatboy Slim remixes? Whether it was, you know, a Beastie Boys song, or yeah. I think he did, I can't remember, but Norman Cook, he would do it, and he would make it better. He would take a song. He would take a perfectly good song and make it better. And that's what it needed the whole time.
You know what the beginning of that sounded like? Remember? Do you see the one scene in The Office when Michael was in his office with Aaron and that? It was the Casio keyboard thing. The merengue. It's too Casio-ish at the beginning. Like he got kicked in the head. He was at a Montgomery Ward's looking at the keyboards and said, "Oh, get a little samba."
Now is it all?
You get the what are some of those things? Hardy, you used to have one of those Casios.
Oh sure,
samba, merengue,
rumba,
pachanga. Neil,
this year.
Okay, let's get to another one.
Pachanga.
There's 18 tracks on it. We're only going to play.
Oh my god!
But we're like at a 50% rate here. I go thumbs up on the second one.
I'll take the second one. I'll say no one, yes two.
Susu Studio. What do we say?
Like spacey. It's like Blue Man Group. And it's so confusing to me. It makes me miss the old
it's
stuff.
It's so 80s, you know what I mean? Though, isn't it?
It sounds like we're playing two songs at the same time.
It's like a Electric Light Orchestra synced up to a boat light show.
It sounds, you know what it sounds like, Zoe? It sounds like the guy at the Sandals Resort playing these songs on the Casio keyboard.
He presses one button and he becomes three things.
Yes.
Want to fast forward a little bit?
No.
Hold on. It's like fake drums on the keyboard.
Yeah.
I'm going down.
How is this that much different? It's just not as good.
There's no vocals.
It's too confusing.
Or fast forward. Is anything good in here? What is that?
That's him stretching his voice out.
Thumbs down.
When the intern
thumbs
plays around editing audio.
Thumbs down.
Like
it's like the intern did these remixes.
Like
thumbs down on that one. Thumbs down. I'm not liking this so far. What's next? don't recognize the song yet, so let's wait it out.
Oh, Billy, don't lose my number.
I think that's Bobby. What they were looking for when they made the album. We don't recognize the song yet. Let's wait it out.
Every song starts that way. It's 10 to 15 seconds of I don't know what.
He's ruining the tagline of the album. He's ruining his music.
I don't know what this is.
You know what this is for? This is for bars and clubs, man. This is like remastered.
I think that's
DJ.
What they're going for.
I like.
They all say dance, hold on, like hold dance on, dance mix on.
Back it up. Back it up, please, Jim. Back it up. Because I kind of like this because he's just doing the harmony track. Can you back it up? Kind of nice. Yeah, like, okay. It's interesting, at least. It's more interesting than the other ones.
I'll go thumbs up on this.
Beetle, did you see the thing that I posted last night about it? It's a long form video. I think it's like 18 minutes. It's two guys sitting at a mixing console going over Foo Fighters Everlong. Like,
no.
Layer by layer, track by track. But there's a lot of that stuff in there where they just isolate harmonies. They isolate the whispered parts so you finally find out what he's saying in there. So I like it when you can break it down, but if it's just adding a Casio drum track, it doesn't do much for me. Nope.
It's,
no, thank you.
It's clubby fun to me. I'm going
it's,
up.
It's clubby fun.
It gets me going. So it gets me to shake. Fun.
Skipping I, again. It's skipping like, again.
Give me. The CD skipping in the CD player. I'm in for this one.
Give me another one.
I'm in.
I like it.
All right, let's do one more. Oh, last one.
There's
last
one comment one. Here that we need to.
What is it? What is it?
Someone on Twitter said, this sucks.
One more. In the air tonight.
Right.
Phil Collins.
We'll just fast forward right to the drum part.
Yes, they put two in here, including the 88 remix, which has been out there since 1988. What's this one? This is another remix they put on there. Just get to the good part, the drums. The last
time we ever met. Don't like it.
It's like a movie intro.
It sounds like the 88 one, though. It's the same sound.
No, it's not.
No, there's the remix from the 80s that they did.
Oh,
it's been out there
oh,
a long
the 80s.
Time already.
It loses all the buildup when you put this thing underneath it.
There's no buildup. It's almost like the Sopranos opening. Woke up this morning, got myself a gun, got yourself a gun.
Took all the punch out of the drums.
You know they got that drum sound. Phil
Collins. Like
Phil Collins wouldn't tell anybody for years.
Bad microphone, wasn't it?
They used the little talkback speaker in the control room. Like when we talk back to Jim, you know, it just comes through a little speaker in there. Yeah. So they didn't use like you know the good mics. They used just the little talkback mic, and they mic'd that up somehow, like the speaker coming through the control room, and got that weird, like kind of. You know, it's the sound, but it's not a full sound. Kind of loop that thing back around. Just that little talk back thing.
Like putting it in cue.
Right. Rose, so kind of like it's like it's a mic'd it's like a crappy speaker with a good mic in front of a crappy speaker.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't care for it.
Yeah, I don't care for it either. Easy Lover, though. Not bad. Put it on the pool playlist. Oh, you've got one in there.
Just one.
You got one in there. Yeah. That's what you got out of it.
That's one more than you had.
One more than you had, so.
There's one song labeled, The Roof is Leaking, Nick Estella's Polaris Interpretation.
Pardon me?
I already hate it.
And it's doing well?
The Roof is on Fire?
That's the second most popular song.
Second
I have no idea
popular.
What that is.
Maybe we'll get to that before the end of the show today. Okay. 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls now.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
All right. 617-779-0985. Go back to your phones. Pete's in Delaware. Hey, Pete, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, no problem, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
Drake's an idiot. I honestly, no. I hope Draymond Green, and I'm not a Green fan, but if he drops him, oh, that would be just wonderful with me. You know, the guy's posting on Instagram this morning of him, like, taking lint or something out of Steph Curry's hair. You know, the NBA's got to do something. If I'm the Raptors, it's embarrassing. He's getting more publicity than the Raptors winning.
He is. And the part about Steph Curry's, like, lint in his hair.
You know what?
Like, why is this being allowed? Why is any of this being allowed to happen?
That is sad. I mean, here you are. You're Toronto. You're finally, you know, getting a chance at a championship. You're beating Goliath 1-0. And the story is Drake.
That's and here's terrible. The thing, guys. Here's the one thing, and you know the NBA is conscious of this. When Drake posts that, he's got more followers than Steph Curry. And you know what the NBA looks at? Oh, more people will be watching. More people may be intrigued. That's all they care about. And if they do nothing after last night, it just proves that point. They just want the hits.
Yeah, they've got to step in. They've got to do something. They've got to
come back.
Put an end to this. Put an end
no problem you being courtside. Just stop acting.
It's really on the Toronto Raptors to do something about it.
He's right, though. More people are going to watch game two because of that.
Yes.
That's sad. More casual fans, too.
This guy right here who watched not. I did not watch last night.
And then game
three. Because I don't like
Golden
State.
Where do the Warriors put Drake?
Like,
where does Golden State put him?
Bruins get eliminated. I could care less. Same thing with the Patriots.
Where would I put him?
Right in the middle of the crowd. Right in the middle of section whatever.
I'd put him in section 306 is where I'd put him.
Yeah.
You want seats to the game? Oh, good. You're in the nosebleeds. That's where we're going to put you.
No suites available. Sorry, Drake.
Yeah, sorry.
This incident is going to make me watch game two now, though.
That's sad. That's sad that that's what it takes to get you to watch a game.
For that, yeah. Because I could care less about those two teams. Yeah.
It's a pop culture thing. It's not a sports thing.
Can I add something about this, by the way? Because I've seen a lot of this. And Jim tried to get me to talk about the series yesterday on this premise, and I wouldn't do it. And I see it being written, and I see the NBA guys talking about it. You know, I saw B-Rob writing about it yesterday.
What, better if they win or don't win with Durant?
You know, trying to look at this series through the Celtics lens.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. I don't buy it, and I'll tell you why. I don't think that these players give a damn about whether or not they win or lose when it comes to making their free agent decisions. You know, Kevin Durant, when he was leaving Oklahoma City, did it matter to him whether he won or lost?
No.
He lost and he left, and he didn't give a crap about what went down in
Oklahoma.
That's
a good point. That's a good point. Now he's
got
two rings.
If there was any real personal pride there, he would have said, you know what? I'm going to stay here because I know that if we come back and I, you know, put in the work again and we get a little bit better, the next time we don't lose and we win here. No, he just bolted because he doesn't care, because he felt like going to Golden State, and he will either decide to stay or go based on completely personal reasons and nothing to do with whether or not Golden State wins or loses with or without him. Sorry, I refuse to buy that. These guys don't care about the results on the floor, on the court. They're just going to do whatever it is that they feel like doing on a given day. And so I'm not reading into it. I'm not reading into what happens on the court, into what guys decide to do in free agency.
But you could imagine Celtics fans looking at this saying, hope that Golden State wins without Durant.
Waste of time.
Do you want him to win with him or without him?
Waste of time.
You want them to win.
Doesn't matter.
Wait a minute. So if they lose without him, that means he's going to go back to Golden State.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
If it matters to him. But it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. He's just going to decide what he wants to do, and he'll do it.
It's already set where they're all going.
But what about the Kawhi angle? Does that have any impact, you think?
I don't think it does. Kawhi wins?
I think he's gone.
Kawhi loses? Doesn't matter. Either way, exactly.
But some people think that if they win it, he's going to stay, which impacts the Celtics.
I don't think it does. Win or lose. If this is what I think. If he stays in Toronto, it won't be because they won or lost. It'll be because he actually ended up liking it there and wants to stay. And a guy gave him a free penthouse. That's why. That's why he stays. Because he liked it there. That's why. Not because they won or lost. It's because personally, for him, he liked it. That's why he will end up there. If he leaves, it's because he likes somewhere else more. It'll have nothing to do with how the series goes. So I'm not watching for that.
I have one Celtics thought after last night.
What is it?
Can we find a Pascal Siakam somewhere, anywhere, late pick in the first round, whatever, that can just develop into a guy like that after a couple of years?
Danny Ainge, I don't think, has one of those guys on his draft resume and record. I don't think. Could be wrong.
Like Ryan Gomes.
Late first round pick that develops into something better than a late first round pick.
That's somebody that's going to score 30 points in an NBA finals game.
That's a hard thing. That's a hard thing to find late in the first round. First round. I mean, anything that's not a lottery pick to me, that's why it's not a criticism I'm really willing to levy against anybody. I think anything that's not a lottery pick is garbage. Even many lottery picks are garbage. Picks are worthless in the NBA. So many guys just suck.
Tried it with Fab Melo. That didn't work.
No.
Didn't he get a concussion walking
Juwan Johnson.
Didn't Melo get the concussion walking in?
Maybe Robert Williams is that guy. Maybe he develops. I don't know.
Maybe he is. Maybe he is. Fab Melo. May he rest in peace. Gone far too young. But I don't know. That's a hard thing to do. That's a really hard thing to do. How many of those guys?
That's how
are
a team
there?
Like Toronto wins, though. That's
I know,
how
but how
like
many of those guys
win?
Like, how realistic is that, though, to say? Like, God, can we get a guy? Like, that's kind of hard to do. How many teams do that? Draft a guy at the end of the first round and develops into a legit player.
It's hard. You need it to win, though.
That's hard to do. Role players that are found at the end of the first round. 617-779-0985. No commercials here, just headlines. Going to keep talking some Bruins as well. We'll do that in 90 seconds.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.